Welcome back for part two of our conversation with Jen O'Connor regarding redefining failure.
Well, that's why you came in.
Yeah, 100%. And
I don't have the answers.
Our listeners, yeah, come in and talk to us because we can help you with this. That's why we're here.
I'm not going to give you answers. I mean, like, we respect students way too much to give answers. I mean, I can tell you to put a bullet in a resume, but I'm not going to tell you what to do the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Because I would be failing you as a student if I told you what to do. But
yes. So when these kind of conversations come up, like you said, with your student going to medical school where they're using this concept of failure, what do you think, not even working with students, what you've said in the past or what you've said in the past, you can say it. Mm-hmm. When you're working with students or your personal feelings, how do we rephrase failure? What's a better way to phrase mm-hmm. failure? Does failure exist or how do you rephrase that?
Yeah, no, I hear you. So it's a good question because I think kind of going back to like the whole failure looks different to every person. Mm. I mean, I had a student one time who thought they failed because they got a B. Yeah. I'm like, oh, friends, let me tell you, I got some stories for you. But in their mind, they didn't get the A. So that was a fail. Mm-hmm. Some people don't get their for school. So I kind of like to hear a little bit about the perspective of what the failure is and then like how they frame it, because sometimes when they don't get what they want, no matter what it is, that they go automatically to I failed. I'm like, yeah, we are in a high performing school here, you know, we are among the best of the best, you know, and so I think the tendency is to compare ourselves to other people. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think sometimes that can be really great and other times it could be like devastating. And so, you know, I'm a huge fan of a theory, a career theory called Planned Happenstance. It's by a guy named John Krumbholz. Unfortunately, he passed, but Dr. Krumbholz's thoughts were like, you know, you learn by doing and experiencing and putting the world around you. So, for example, you know, when you fail a chemistry test, you have to think about like, well, why did that happen and what was it? And then if it was a strength or weaknesses or his thing, or is it just that you didn't study enough and you knew you should study and you didn't, or is it truly like, oh God, I hate this. I just can't even do it. And mm-hmm. trying to figure out like, what is the reasoning behind the failure, and I have failure in air quotes. You can't see, but I have them. Yeah. Because what is that, you know? And so I try to like break it down a little bit. And I try to kind of figure out like what led to this happening. So like, for example, mm-hmm. when someone tells me I don't get into that law school, but they applied way after they were told to apply and they didn't get their stuff edited and they found there was a typo in their letter I'm like, well, okay. So let's talk about that for a second. What do you want to do? So you didn't get into school that you wanted. Were there other schools on your list that you got into that you wanted to, or are you thinking that's your only school? If that's the only school, let's think about maybe we could be doing this a little differently for next time. Mm-hmm. You know, and are you willing to wait a year? Or, okay, so no, you're not willing to wait a year. Okay, great. So then we go to the other schools on the list. And we think, okay, so you really want to go to law school. Is law school more important than you go to the school or just they go to law school? So if they just decide, okay, I need to go now. So okay, great. So let's look at these other schools and figure out like, what even led you to apply to these schools and what do you love about it? And then trying to figure out like, you know, would this be a viable option for you to do this instead of the first school? And then, you know, just trying to, so when we reframe it, it's like, I think there's always different sides of things. So we have to kind of figure out where do you want to take that failure? Because it's a reality that it happened, but you can reapply to schools, you can hold off for a year, you can reassess. And so, you know, when I failed that chemistry class in my first year of college, I was like, oh my God, I'm an A student. What is this? Well, I did not build my support system the way I needed to. Like I was not going to tutoring. I had never taken chemistry in high school. I was a genetics person and biochem and stuff. I hadn't taken chemistry. Biogenetics. I was like, what am I doing? But I realized I hadn't set myself up for support and success. And so I think that's part of it is like, what will it take to get to that point? Because we need to take the lessons that are learned.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yes, 100% that's making sense. And something that I want to highlight with something you've talked about, and we can delve into this a little bit more, is in that entire answer you just gave of everything we just talked about, you never used negative connotation with anything you said. Failure has this negative connotation. And what we see as all these failures are actually learning opportunities.
Yes.
And that's what I want our listeners to kind of take from this, hopefully.
Yes.
It's a frame of mind of failure feels so, the word failure and the concept of failure is you're stuck. You did something and now you're stuck here. And that's simply like, the fact of it is it's not true. It's okay, you didn't get into that law school because you didn't proofread your personal statement or whatever it was. And what you can do now is proofread next time. You have now learned.
Yes.
And so listeners, move away from this concept of I did something wrong. It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. And now I'm stuck.
Yes.
Instead say, okay, it didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. Now, what can I turn into positives? What actions can I take and what can I do better?
No, totally. Well, I mean, and like going back to like what I said earlier about like, I mean, USC is one of the best universities in the world, right? Okay. So we are among the best of the best. And it is my honor to work with students I mean, I've been here for a long time and I'm like, oh my gosh, I learn something new every day. I'm like, God, these students are really changing the world. It is such an amazing place. Like if someone could see what I see from the advisor spot, they'd be like, oh my God, like this is something special. I'm like, exactly. That's why I don't leave, because I love this place. But I think one of the things to really think about is like I get worried if students are doing everything exactly right and like aren't kind of having a couple little blips in this, I'm like wondering if they're even taking advantage of USC as a whole, believe it or not. Because I'm thinking, if you stay in your comfort zone this whole time, how are you going to get better?
Yes. Please join us for part 3 and the final conclusion of our conversation with Jen O'Connor on redefining failure.